1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. From San Francisco, which is near Skywalker Ranch, where they are holding auditions for Episode 2, the filming of the new Star Wars movie, Episode 2, and I don't have any idea what the title of this thing is. Do you, Craig? But George Lucas is actively auditioning right now the part of Anakin Skywalker as a teenager. R.C. Collins is a junior at Chatsworth High School. We've been tracking R.C. up there and is going to join us from the hotel in San Francisco. You with your mom?
Right now, I'm with my mom, yeah.
And how's it been going?
Well, it's fun to see San Francisco, but I come from California. I've been here before. Like, a lot of the kids that are here, they don't come from California. They've never been here before.
What is that like? You're up there. You're waiting to audition for George Lucas. What other kids have you seen? What other stars have you seen? Seen other actors?
I've seen the kid from Dawson's Creek. And I've seen the kid from Malcolm's Middle, and also the kid from Party of Five. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be...
Malcolm in the Middle, I'm told. Malcolm in the Middle?
Malcolm in the Middle. It's going to be tough because there's some good ones, but also a lot of amateurs. And I fall into that category, fortunately for me, Phil, where I have done some interesting things. I've made some interesting choices. I feel confident.
When is your audition scheduled?
Well, right now we're waiting to hear from the casting office. We're hoping to get in before the end of the week.
Do you know how many people Mr. Lucas has read for this? Now, this is the part... this is the part of Anakin Skywalker as a teenager, correct?
That is correct, Phil. It's later in the trilogy, before he becomes Darth Vader, but after he's a kid. He's a teenager, and he's starting to be into the dark. Into the darkness, into the dark side. So, it's going to be a challenge, no doubt about it. But I've studied this character, Phil, and I feel I know the character.
Okay, as an actor, and you're a young guy. First of all, R.C., do you do any theater at school at Chatsworth?
Yeah, I've done Equity Waiver. I've done Equus for our junior class, and I've done a The Crucible at the Coronet in Hollywood. So I've done a little bit. You know, I did Hamlet, and I also have the soliloquy from Hamlet. That's one thing that I feel I've got in my favor that a lot of these actors don't. I have a piece of work that I'm going to do, and I do have experience being in front of an audition and auditioning.
So you have... Because I was going to ask you, did they give you some sides? And in the business, a side is known as lines from it.
Yeah, they're going to give us sides. But I'm training as a Shakespearean actor. I'm going to throw a couple of curveballs at them that I think that they're going to like very, very deeply. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So are you going to do...
Well, I'm going to read something from Hamlet, and I'm also... I've got some things that I'm going to do.
Tell me about the auditioning process. Even though you're young, you've auditioned in front of professionals?
Yeah, I guess you can say I've been around the block a little bit, Phil. But there's other kids here, too, that are good, too.
What would you do standing in front of George Lucas auditioning for the part of Anakin Skywalker?
Well, that's a very good question. I guess the first thing I do is... The first thing any actor should do is compliment Mr. Lucas, tell him that you've seen all of his films. They really like that. They want to know that you're familiar with his work. And then ask him stuff about the movies. You know, like, something that I want to know about is, and I wrote it down, I'm going to ask Mr. Lucas, in the movie Indiana Jones, when the vapor comes up from the Ark, is that God or is that the angel of death or what is it? Because I think that it shows familiarity with his work.
So you're in front of the man himself, George Lucas, and you'll ask him about other films and...
Yeah, other things that he's done because they're flattered by that and they want to hear that. Then the other thing that I'll do is, you know, whatever he gives me to read, I'll be free to ad-lib around it because they like that. They want to know that you can create on your feet. They want to know that you can ad-lib, and...
So if he gives you a side... I'm interested in this, R.C. If he gives you a side from the film, and the line is, let's say one from the old film, Luke, I am your father. Could you ad-lib that?
Well, I wouldn't ad-lib that. That's a classic line. But if it's the first time I say, Luke, I'm your dad, I could say I'm your dad. I'm Luke, look at me, I'm your father. Luke, here I am, I'm your father. You can do that. You can ad-lib. Writers like that.
We're talking with R.C. Collins. He is a young man who's in San Francisco. He's going to try to get in an audition for George Lucas for the part of Anakin Skywalker in the forthcoming episode 2. Tell me what you thought of Jake Lloyd's performance in episode 1.
Well, I don't want to be critical of Mr. Lloyd, but it was very weak in my opinion. I didn't think it was strong at all. I don't think he received good direction, and I don't think Mr. Lucas was directing those scenes with Jake Lloyd. His direction's traditionally been stronger. And for that kid to get on the screen and ham it up the way he did, real heavy-handed, ham-fisted stuff, really, young Jake had no strength to his acting, and I think I can bring that to the table. I think I bring that to the party, that I'm pretty strong.
Tell me, you said you have a piece prepared?
Yes, I do.
Can you, what is it?
It's the Hamlet soliloquy from Hamlet.
And you have memorized this?
Yes, I have, Phil. I know this thing backwards and inwards, and when I get in and I lay this on George Lucas, you know, you'll be holding on for mercy when I get this sucker rolling.
All right. This is from Hamlet, the soliloquy, right?
This is Hamlet, to be or not to be.
Go ahead, R.C. Collins.
To be or not to be, that's the question. Whether it's nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of the outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die to sleep no more and by a sleep, to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation.
To hardly is a wish
to die to sleep, to perchance dream. Aye, there's the rub, for in that sleep of death what dreams may come when we have.
Shuffled off the mortal coil.
Must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long a life, for would bear the whips of scorn, oppressor's wrong, the pangs of despised love, and the...
Let me interrupt you. You are saying that by memory.
Yes, sir.
You memorized that.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. It's good.
Thank you. For who would bear the whips of scorn of time,
the pangs of despised love, and the...
When he himself might, with a bare bodkin who would fardels bear, but the dread of something after death, the undiscovered... Country from whose born no traveler returns puzzles the will, and enterprises of great pith and moment, the Ferophilia, by be all my sins remembered.
And that is the...
That's the soliloquy from Hamlet. The other thing that I think gives me some strength, Phil, and that...
Well, first of all, let me give you a round of applause on that. It was very good. Hey, that was good, and that was something that you memorized to have prepared... For a casting agent.
Yes, sir.
What was the other strength?
Well, the other strength I have, Phil, and when I was 14, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, which is a potentially life-threatening disease.
I'm sorry to hear that. You all right now?
Yes, I am. But in Star Wars, Darth Vader cuts off Luke's hand, and Luke cuts off Darth Vader's hand. I've lost a body part. I did lose a nut. I mean, I'm sorry, a testicle. In a nutectomy, like a testiclectomy that they did on me, so I know that what that's about. And
so you're coming from a method place, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know what it's about to have a nutectomy, and I mean, I wouldn't want no kid to be through that or anything.
Okay. What about at the outset you were talking about auditioning and the other kids that are there?
Yeah. The thing I wanted to mention, Phil. I come from California, so I know all about movies and how they're made. A lot of the kids that are out here auditioning for Mr. Lucas come from other parts of the country. They're going to be scared, and they don't know how to do it, and they're going to be all scared of movies and stuff. So I'm not scared of it because I come from California, and I live near where they make movies.
R.C. Collins, he's a... student at Chatsworth Higher, number 1-800-449-8686. You come from California, so you have a better sense, you say, of how movies are made. and how to audition.
Absolutely, Phil. I can get in there, and like I say, I can put Mr. Lucas at ease, ask him about his movies, and tell him how very much I want to be in the movie. I think the thing you got to do when you audition for any part is tell them how much you like their movies and how much you want to be in their movie, and things like that, you know, ask them where they ate dinner so you know just personal stuff about them that they'd be happy to tell you. If I can do that, I feel good about my chances coming up the end of the week auditioning. The other thing is I know this character very well.
You were mentioning that you have studied the Anakin Skywalker character.
Yes, I have. Anakin, in many ways, is not unlike a lot of American kids. He was sexually abused by Jabba the Hutt in the Phantom Menace. He was like his, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't know how to put it, but he was like Jabba the Hutt's butt slave or something. And also, he had separation anxiety from his parents. He was a latchkey kid and a drug addict. And
was that all in Phantom Menace?
Some of it was. Some of it was in the book. But it,
well, when you say he was Jabba the Hutt, he was sexually abused by Jabba the Hutt.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I mean, these are all elements that go into the modern American kid, and I feel that I can bring that to the part.
R.C. Collins with us, 1-800-449-8686, talking to us about auditioning for the part of Anakin Skywalker in the forthcoming Episode 2 Star Wars film. It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. R.C. Collins from Chatsworth High with us from San Francisco, where he is going to audition for Anakin, the role of Anakin Skywalker in the forthcoming Star Wars Episode 2 film. Now, as I understand it, R.C., Anakin Skywalker now is in his teenage years, correct? And that's the role?
That's the role, basically, because that's why I'm there auditioning for it. And
so they're all teenagers that are with you?
Yeah, all teenagers or young adults, guys that can play younger. I'm 16 myself, and I think that's right in the wheelhouse, I guess, of being Anakin Skywalker. One of the things I want to mention is I mentioned that Anakin Skywalker in the last film was a sex slave of Jabba the Hutt, and that's something that was to further the plot. Because Jabba the Hutt knew how to win pod races. And because he knew how to win pod races, Anakin Skywalker decided he'd be his butt slave to...
Okay, you can use maybe another euphemism or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, he just decided he'd get knowledge from him.
So he became Jabba the Hutt's sex slave or something?
Right. Now, in this episode here, their relationship evolves. But this is going to be the toughest part of this, and this is why I say that I'm suited for this, because I know an awful lot about these characters. Learning the Jedi's art, etc., is an important thing.
Now, you are an editor of a newsletter, Star Wars newsletter that's kind of insider information on the stuff that's going on.
That's correct. It's called Star Wars Newsletter, I Am Your Father, is the name of it. And because I have information about Star Wars, I know an awful lot. I probably know more than any kid out there in terms of what's going on. That's why I also feel that I'd be really good and that I would be good in this part. And the other thing, too, is because I really like the movies. And the other thing is that I own all of them. I have Star Wars. I have Empire Strikes Back, I have Return of the Jedi, and I've got Phantom Menace Star Wars Episode 1. So I got them all. So that's another thing. I know all about it. I got them all.
All right, and because you own all of these films, which, by the way, my kids own all the films, okay?
Yeah, I know. Well, some kids do, but none of them know the legend the way that I do.
All right, now what I want to do is find out from you when you get into audition. Tell us how things are going, because this is the kind of a major moment in the entertainment business these days, with kids going up to audition for this part. You mentioned that you're going to go up there, look at the sides, and ad-lib?
Yes, part of it is ad-libbing.
So you don't have to necessarily know the part, so long as you kind of know your way around the part.
That's exactly correct. And if you know anything about acting, Phil, it's a tough one. I mean, you want to be sure that you give them what they want, but you don't want to compromise who you are. And if they give you spooge lines, I mean crappy lines to read, you got to make them gooder, so you need to ad-lib around it.
All right, I didn't know that actors, so in other words, when you say, when they give you spooge lines to read, you got to make them gooder?
I mean, you got to make them better. So you ad-lib around it, and that way, when you do that, you can bring more of yourself to the part and less, you know, it won't be as bad as a lot of the lines are. I mean, if I was Jake Lloyd and I had to read some of the lines that he read, I would probably have gotten my dad's rifle and just done the deed, because there's no way.
But he said you would have shot yourself because the lines were so bad.
Yeah, in my opinion.
All right, well, this film is going to be high on martial arts. It's going to be high on special effects and stunts. Are you trained for that?
I've taken some. I mean, I've got a green belt in Taekwondo. I do have a basic learning and understanding of it. It's going to be pretty easy, I think. The professional actors are going to be tough to go up against, but I think I'm going to do gooder than a lot of them, because I come from California, like I was telling you. I know how the game's played. I know what to do. I don't get scared of being in a movie. I'm not going to be scared of being in a movie.
Well, why? I mean, a kid from California, was a kid from Indiana going to be scared of being in a movie? You know, for most of...
I think so. I think that a kid from another state might be more scared about it. The other thing is, I'm 5'4", I weigh 110 pounds. I'm perfect for the physical nature of the role, and I'm good, I mean, in a lot of different ways. I'm just good. And I feel like I can really, you know, put it together that way.
R.C. Collins is with us from Chatsworth High School. You're a really confident guy.
Thank you.
I mean, you really are. I'm listening to you talk about going for this part. You've memorized a scene from Hamlet. You feel that you know this character well by virtue of your, what is the name of your newsletter?
Stars War newsletter, I Am Your Father.
I Am Your Father. And you also have done some Equity Waiver. You've done some stage work. Have you never done any film work, though?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, it's not, but no, I haven't.
And so you're going to be up there auditioning for Mr. Lucas when? By the end of this week?
By the end of the week, probably we'll be there auditioning for him and doing what we can.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number for this very interesting process of auditioning for a film. We have with us here this young man from Chatsworth High, R.C. Collins, who is in San Francisco right now. By the way, as long as we're talking about being in a movie and bringing yourself to it, you have a kind of a tenuous relationship with your dad?
Yes, I do. My father doesn't live with us. He lives with my mom says he lives with the woman who is his secretary, who also is a slut, but I like her a lot. Her name is Sally.
Okay, but I mean, you're living with your mom and...
Yeah, my dad, I don't live with him.
How often do you see him?
Maybe once a month. I mean, I love my dad, and I don't think that his girlfriend's a slut, but that's...
That's what your mom thinks.
That's what my mom thinks, yeah.
So you can bring to this part at least that much of the role that is... that part of Luke or that part of Anakin who feels disconnected from his family.
Yeah, whatever. What
I mean is this Hamlet thing, the insane father.
Right.
Okay, hang on the line just a second here, R.C. We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to go to a break. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And have you ever auditioned for a movie before in your life? I walked into an office and actually read lines for people. I don't know if it was an audition, but I was actually reading something and looking. Every now and again, I'd look up from the page at the guy that I was reading it for to see if he was not on the phone. Most of the time, he was. It's scary. It's a scary, scary process. So my heart goes out to the kid. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Collins, the junior at Chatsworth High, talking about the experience of waiting to audition for the new Star Wars film. episode 2. RC's in San Francisco right now with his mom, and he flew up there yesterday, and is hoping to get into audition for Mr. Lucas by the end of the week. And we're going to take some phone calls now. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. You want to take some phone calls, RC? What, where is he? RC, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Ready to take some phone calls?
Yeah, I'd love to take some calls from a lot of the fans out there and to see what they think about it.
Okay, here is Salt Lake City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Salt Lake City, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, ma'am.
I just wanted to let RC know that before he goes in front of Lucas, to make sure to say, like, Star Wars instead of Stars War, and to say
right.
Jedi instead of Jedi. But other than that, he's
I right. think really what we're talking about is the energy that I bring to the part and the love that I have for the mythology of it. And I mean, you're right. I think faster than I talk.
Oh, that's understandable.
You know, so I got a little bit ahead of it.
Catching it or not.
That I said what?
I didn't know if you were catching it or not, and
I think it's a dialectical. It could be a dialectical difference that Anakin Skywalker could have, that he call it Jedi or Star Wars. But it's just it's an actor's choice.
Well, okay. What do you mean by an actor's choice? You mean that's, in other words, you're...
Well, you're talking about freeing yourself up to ad-lib around the lines. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You understand about acting?
Yeah, I do a little bit.
Do you do acting?
I have a couple of times.
Well, one of the fun things about it is sometimes you can ad-lib and take the writer's bad writing and make it gooder.
You mean make it better, right?
Make it better, yeah.
Okay.
I think you're going to do great, RC.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, ma'am.
You're welcome.
I don't know that a writer is all that anxious to have his lines changed, you know?
Well, Obi-Wan had a weird dialect, and I think that Anakin should have one, too.
What weird dialect did Obi-Wan have?
The guy that played him, the guy Alec Guinness?
Yeah.
He talked funny. I mean, I couldn't get that.
What do you mean? I mean, he had a...
He had, like, an accent.
Yeah, a British accent. Alec Guinness is from England.
Oh, see, I didn't get that. They didn't make that clear in the film.
Well, what's to make clear? The guy comes from Great Britain, so there's a different accent. Santa Rosa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, ma'am.
Yeah.
They didn't make that clear in the film, though.
But see, they don't need to make that clear.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. They don't need to make that clear because that's part of the actor, not part of the character.
Well, I mean, when Obi-Wan had an accent, I'm saying that maybe Anakin could, too.
I think Anakin's fine the way he is. I mean, who's created the character to
so
be like
let me,
that?
So let me
I
ask Mr. Henry, what,
like
Mr. Henry, what is this? In other words, so I come on your show and I tell you my ideas for the part, and people are allowed to call up and tell me how I'm wrong? I mean, I'm an actor, and I don't know about these people that are calling.
Well, all right, well, I mean...
You know, in other words, I've got my way of doing things. What is this what are you saying, lady?
See, I am a child actor, and I have my job, and I don't even know what agent you're from.
Well, what are you... Why are you shooting me down? Why are you shooting me down?
I'm not taking you down yet.
Well,
I don't know.
You came on and you said that I, you know,
you don't need for the character, the actor to be explained by the character. You need the actor to explain the character.
Well, I don't know what that means. All I'm saying is...
What she's saying is that the character is the person that's going to feed your... Well, whatever. So you're doing Anakin Skywalker with an accent.
Yeah. And this lady said I shouldn't. She said she thought he was fine the way he was. Which I... Well, I disagree. I think he needs work. Big work. Especially being a butt slave for Jabba the Hutt. Come on.
See, I don't see where you get that, but no. I don't think that you need to bring that in.
Why not? That was part of the whole trauma of his life.
I don't know about being a butt slave. You say that was in the film.
That's what turned him to the dark side. Jesus, come on.
You should do what the writers want you to, and explain the character that way. Take the character from the lines that they give you when you go to audition. Take it from their side.
Let me ask you something. Wouldn't you be pissed off? Wouldn't you go to the dark side if Jabba's lightsaber was, you're riding that the wrong way? I would, and that's why I'm bringing it into the park.
See, I'm not from Star Wars, and I'm not going to take it that seriously.
You have to. You must. You must.
No, you must not. You must take seriously the side that they give you, the script that they give you, right then and there for the audition.
Yeah.
And then worry about that when and if you get the job.
That's what I've...
What about, but the character, he goes in knowing that he'd had Jabba the Hutt's lightsaber planted, and he...
But the point is that, you know...
Turn to the dark side, little girl. That's what he'd say. And
the point is, what this lady's saying is use the artist's, the writer's intention and create the character that way, right? Okay, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
Thank
you. Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins talking about auditioning for Star Wars. Gainesville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
R.C., I had a question for you.
Yeah.
I went on a chat line one time, and it was a Star Wars chat room, and I heard a bunch of rumors that Brendan Fraser was going to audition for the part, and I wondered if it was true.
I don't yet know about that, but that's been the buzz around here that Brendan Fraser's going to be around. I went into some of the bars and some of the areas where a lot of the kid actors are hanging out. I didn't see him there.
Well, isn't he a little bit old to be a teenage actor?
Well, you know that guy plays young. Well, I can play old for my age. I'm 16, but I can play 28.
Oh, really? Well,
and a lot of
like,
people
he's been in With Honors and stuff, and he's
what?
Been playing college students. And
he did what?
He's been in movies, like, With Honors. He's been playing, like, college students. I wasn't really sure if that was going to fit him, but I figured you'd know since you're actually there.
Well, I think Brendan Fraser is a fantastic actor. I've got a lot of professional respect for him. I wouldn't have made the choices that he's made. I think George of the Jungle was a huge mistake.
Well, how come it was a big hit?
You know, I mean, and Gods and Monsters, I don't think, you know, he's playing, like, speaking of, you know, being someone's butt slave, he played Gods and Monsters.
Oh, I have a
What's
question
that
about
that,
too.
What's
about
that all
the
about?
Butt slave thing.
What?
I've seen the movie quite a few times, you know, because I'm a big fan. And
wait a minute, what's your question about?
I just wanted to know exactly where you've heard that.
Heard what?
I about the butt slave thing, because I think I would have caught it.
Anakin Skywalker being Jabba the Hutt's butt slave?
Exactly.
It was all through the movie.
Where did you see that?
It was all through the movie.
Where in the movie? Can you actually quote to me where they say that?
Yeah. I mean, at one point, he says, I want to learn how to win pod races. And Jabba says something like, you be butt slave, you win pod race. Something like that.
Jabba doesn't really speak at all in the new one.
Well.
Like, maybe, like, one line. Like,
is this in the movie? I haven't seen the movie. Is this in the movie or is this in the books? I haven't seen it.
If the books are after the movie.
It may be in the books. I don't know. But let me tell you something about Brendan Fraser. Playing Ian McKellen's butt slave didn't...
All right, let's get off of that, and let's move on, and...
You can tell by the long, lingering looks they gave each other in the film is what I'm trying to say.
What, Gods and Monsters?
No, in Phantom Menace. Anakin and Jabba the Hutt.
They never had contact.
No, not physical contact, but they gave each other long, lingering looks.
No, they never had contact at all. Like, I didn't ever notice them looking at each other at all.
I think you need to go back. I think you need to rent the movie again.
No, I've rented
it. Long, lingering looks between Jabba the Hutt and Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, sir.
I swear to you. I thought you would know, since you're an expert.
Well,
you know?
You're okay. Yeah, I think you need to rent the movie again.
Well,
all right,
I'll do it, but
thank
I really don't think...
Thank you for your call.
Welcome.
All right. San Francisco on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, first of all, R.C., your voice, you know, the current Anakin, his voice didn't get higher afterward, and you're being on the radio.
Uh-huh.
I mean it with all due respect.
Yeah, right. Tell me all about it.
I understand you're an actor. I understand you're trying to get this role.
Are you an actor? Are you an actor?
Yeah, I'm a part-time actor.
What are you doing living in San Francisco?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Yeah, why are you living there?
Because I want to live up here, and
well,
I realize...
I got a news flash for you. All the jobs are down here.
Yeah, well, what about Silicon Valley? I've been on CDs. I've done commercials for dot-com companies. Sorry.
Be.
What?
I'm talking about movies and TV shows.
Well, what I do isn't acting?
No, it's not.
Yeah, well, let me ask you
no,
this.
No, it's not acting any more than that guy that was on that Union 76 commercial.
Yeah, well, wait a second. Let me ask you this, RC. Are you on strike right now?
Listen, I can do an older Darth Vader.
No, but RC. RC,
look,
are you on strike?
I'm your father, you asshole.
RC, are you these on strike? These are things.
Right? All right, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Philadelphia W. What's the callers? The station one in Philadelphia, PHT. They are running us live. They'll begin running us live, I think, tonight, although we aren't on tonight because we're preempted by Phillies baseball. But for people who called and asked, and I don't know if you're in Philadelphia right now, you're not listening to the show live because there's a ball game on right now. Let me just tell you that we are being carried live. We've been moved up 3 hours in Philadelphia. We'll be carried live at 7 o'clock. And so when there isn't baseball, there's the Phil Henry Show live in Philly. And we're very, very excited about that and our association with all of those Marvy people. We did a phone interview this morning with the great people of El Paso at the station in El Paso, and that was a lot of fun. So, you know, we're inexorably sort of growing this radio show for what it's worth. I mean, all it is a show. This isn't a national movement. We're not going to march on City Hall. I don't really, frankly, care whether you have a T-shirt with my face on it or not. I'm not really nuts about having bumper stickers. We do have a logo. It's my face in the middle of like a big sunburst. Maybe we'll do something with that as a decal that you can stick on your bumper, or not, as the case may be. One of the things that I don't want to do is embarrass my listeners. I'll die before I embarrass you guys. So I would never insist that you walk down the street with a T-shirt on with my name and call letters and, you know what I'm saying? Because maybe it's because I'm in the business. When I see people going down the street wearing a radio station T-shirt, I feel pity. Like, you can't go down here to IMAC and get yourself, maybe you might want to stop in at Nordstrom's and buy yourself a sports shirt or something? How about the guy that shows up for the date with the Mickey Mouse T-shirt on? You know what I'm saying? So, radio station T-shirts have struck me the same way. We don't have that much in terms of merchandise. So, you don't have to do any of those things other than listen to the show and listen to it as religiously as you possibly can. And we really appreciate that. By the way, I had a very interesting conversation with someone today. I won't tell you how or why or when, but they have a friend who made a comment in a newspaper that The Tonight Show with Jay Leno doesn't feature new comics because Jay doesn't want to put anybody on funnier than him. And I started thinking about it. I thought, when was the last time you saw comics on his show? Do you watch The Tonight Show? Sometimes. I don't see up-and-coming comics like Carson used to have on or like Letterman used to have on. Leno didn't have any comics on there, and I don't know whether that's true or not that the guy doesn't want to have anybody on there that's funnier than him, but he doesn't have the guys on like Carson used to, and he's kind of growing the career thing. I don't know, nurturing careers, being a friend, being a foster parent to young comics. Well, the guy claims right after his interview appeared in this little tiny newspaper, Jay Leno calls him up and tells him that he's wrong. Now, this is all anecdotal. It may never have happened. But Jay Leno calls him up, tells him that he's wrong, that he supports young comics, and then that's the end of the conversation without offering the guy a gig on a show. And, as long as I'm talking to you, you want to come on the program? That didn't happen. So I found that kind of interesting because I took some heat a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned that I really enjoyed the Letterman show, obviously, and I'm loyal to that show, and I never really thought that Jay Leno was all that funny, but then I don't know what the hell is funny anymore, and I'm not really, I'm not in any competition. I mean, if everybody loves that show, that's great, and I wish the guy all the luck in the world. Letterman's funnier to me. And that's just the way it's going to be. But this guy who's sitting in a Motel 6 someplace in Pennsylvania, and he's giving an interview to a really small newspaper, and he says, they don't have comics in the Leno show, because he doesn't really grow young comics the way some of the other shows did. And then Leno calls this guy and does 20 minutes with him. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I thought the guy would work a job out of that, and he didn't. He didn't get offered a gig anyway. By the way, I don't know what's up with our website. It still looks like caca. We're really trying to work as hard as we can on making that thing the envy of all websites, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Are you looking at any of the factual errors that may be occurring on that website, Mike? You are? You know that news portion of the website, they haven't updated that in 6 months. Have you mentioned that to anybody? There are portions of our website that literally haven't changed in 6 months since we started the syndicated show. Have you seen any of that? Well, that's okay. Don't worry about it, man. So, once we get done with selling our CD, as I have promised, and I will make it a reality, I will cease promoting that website until somebody does something with it that we can be proud of. Because right now, it's just not a very good-looking thing to look at. It's not original. It's nothing. It used to be, long time ago. So I'm going to do the remainder of this week asking you to go to our website, purchase our CD, Best of the Phil Henry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. And it's $23.50, and the proceeds go to my friend's place, which is the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. And once we reach Friday, that'll be the end of that, and we won't mention our website on the air again. And maybe we'll just be one of those guys that don't have no website. Everybody's got a freaking website. Jesus, Stephen Foster has a website, and he's been dead 150 years. Everyone, Adolf Hitler's got a website. I'm not going to have a website. My sister's got a website. We'll be one of the guys, one of the few that don't have one. Like those bands that don't do music videos, I won't have no website. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to say. I thought maybe we could create some interesting synergy between the show and our website. I can't get a website up and running to save my life. Nothing that's going to look good, nothing that is going to be interactive with the audience. And I have written letters, and I've sent emails. I've tried to be nice. I've tried to be a bit firmer than nice. I've done everything that I can possibly do. I have been polite. You know, let me tell you something. We moved into a house, a brand new house, and we've been real nice with the builders. Now, the guy down the street got some new curtains or something hung in his house. Got new doors, that was it. And my wife said, "Gee, you know, we ordered doors a few months ago. How come we didn't get our doors?" And he said, "Well, the people down the street are a pain in the ass, so we're putting their doors in." And I said to my wife, "Well, there you go. This is what we have to do to get our doors. We're not going to get any of that. We're not going to get anything with honey. We're going to get it with the vinegar. We've been sticking here. We don't get the doors. The guy down the street is an asshole. He's got his doors. So maybe I have to start changing my ammo. But if I do that, then you give people insurance. You get not insurance, but you give them ammo when they say, 'Phil Henry, he was always an asshole. From the day I met him, he was all—' See, I've tried being a nice guy. It done me nothing. Now I'm going to try being the other way. What do you think it's going to get me? Nothing. I guarantee you. All it's going to get me is somebody's going to say, 'See, the reason why you don't have your website is because you're an asshole.' So that's why I just give up. We're not going to have a website anymore. We're going to start spraying walls. Spray painting walls starting Monday.